Alhamdulillah. I hope everybody's having a good and blessed Ramadan. And I hope we're all getting the best from it, inshallah. Today, we're going to be going through verses 75 through 82, I believe, of Surah Waqia. So, from here we'll go on, inshallah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today it's going to be verses 75 through 82. Thank you, Sister Ami. And we should start. Give me the first word of all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah, I swear by the Mawati of the stars, and verily, that is indeed a great oath if you but knew that this is indeed an honorable recitation in a book none which none touch but the purified, a revelation from the Lord of all that exists. Is it such a talk that you are mutinun and you make your provision your denial? Okay, so let's start. Allah swears to the greatness of the Quran. The usage of la in fala is not an extra character without meaning. As some of the scholars of the Tafsir say, rather it is used at the beginning of an oath when the oath is a negation. This is like when Aisha radiallahu anha said, La, by Allah, Allah's messenger did not touch any woman's hand at all. So in this way, the meaning is, no, I swear by the Mawati, the stars, the Mawati of the stars, excuse me. The matter is not, as you people claim, about the Quran, that it is a result of magic or sorcery, rather it is an honorable Quran. Can you hold the computer so that if anybody types, Ibn Jarir said, some of the scholars of Arabic language said that the meaning of Fala, I swear, is the matter is not as you people have claimed. Then he renews the oath again by saying, I swear. Fala, I swear by the Mawati of the stars. Mujahid said, the setting position of the stars in the sky. And he said that it refers to the rising and setting positions. This was said by Hassan Qatada and preferred by Ibn Jarir. Qatada also said that it means their positions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and verily, that is indeed a great oath if you but knew. Meaning, this is a great vow that I, Allah, am making. If you knew the greatness of this vow, you will know the greatness of the subject of the vow. This is indeed an honorable recitation, meaning verily this Quran that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a glorious book. In a book, makmun, meaning glorious. In a glorious, well-guarded, revered book. Ibn Jarir narrated that Ismail bin Musa said that Sharif reported from Hakim, that is Ibn Jarir, from Sa'id bin Jubair, from Ibn Abbas, about which none touch but the purified ones. He said, the book is in the heavens. Al-Afi reported from Ibn Abbas about which none touch but the purified ones, that the purified ones mean the angels. Similarly was said by Anas, Mujahid, Ikramah, Sa'id bin Jubair, and others. Ibn Jarir narrated that Abdul Al-Ala said the same from Qatada, which none touch but the purified ones, that he said none can touch it with Allah except the purified ones. However, in this life, the impure Zoroastrian and the filthy hypocrite touch it. And he said, in the recitation of Ibn Mas'ud, it is said, it is not touched except by the purified ones. Abu al-Aliya said, which none touch but the purified one, it does not refer to you because you are a sinner. Ibn Zayd said, the Quraishi disbelievers told that the devils brought down the Quran. Allah the Exalted stated that only purified ones touch the Quran, as he said. And it is not the shaitan who brought it down, neither would it suit them, nor can they do it. Verily, they have been removed far from hearing it. This saying is a good saying and does not contradict those before it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, a revelation from the Lord of all that exists. Meaning, this Quran is a revelation from the Lord of all that exists, not as they say, that it is magic, sorcery, poetry. Rather, it is the truth. No doubt about it. There is none beyond it of useful truth. As Allah's statement, is it such that you are Muslim? Al-Afi reported from Ibn Abbas that the meaning is, do you not believe in and deny? Similarly was also said by Ad-Dukha, Abu Hazra, and Asudi. Mujahid said, Muslimun means you want to fill yourself with and rely upon. And you make your provision as your denial. Some of them said, the provision here has the meaning of gratitude, meaning you deny without any gratitude. Ali ibn Abi Talha reported from Ibn Abbas that he recited it as in your show of your gratitude by the night. Ibn Jarir narrated from Muhammad bin Bashar, narrated from Muhammad bin Jafar, who narrated from Shuba and others, that Ibn Abbas said, it has never remained upon a people except that some of them became disbelievers by saying such and such provision of the stars sent rain. And Ibn Abbas recited, and you show of your gratitude by denying. So people, you know, in this lesson, you know, I think what's being talked about here is that we have to watch how we think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how we think of His revelation. Because Ibn Abbas made an interesting point here. He said, the Quran never remained on such a people except that we turned to disbelief by some of our wordings, by saying we got this good thing from this action, or we got this bad thing from this action, or, you know, something like this. And what we have to remember, especially in the time that we're in now, is that every good and bad is in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows His creation better than we know ourselves. And sometimes, you know, when we see a good or a bad thing, we have to first remember and remind ourselves that this thing came from Allah. If it's good, we are grateful. If it's bad, we are patient, and we look for the good in it. There have been many things that have happened to me in my life, and since my Islam, you know, I've tried to keep this attitude with everything. Even before my Islam, I knew that everything that came to me came from Allah, whether it be good or bad, and I tried to be patient with the bad. And now in Ramadan, we have to remember that, you know, these things can become worship for us. If we see something and we watch our wordings, and if some bad action comes to us or some good action comes to us, and our first thought is Allah, that becomes an act of worship for us. That becomes an act of ibadah for us. And inshallah, we will get blessings for it. This statement of Ibn Abbas really kind of struck me as I was reading. And let's just say it one more time. And you show of your gratitude by denying. And Ibn Abbas again explained that as just things that we do generally in our life. And I remember, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, that when we come into Islam, we come in with both feet. And the explanation of that verse is that everything that was before your Islam, about your character, about your personality, things you would say and things you would do, would leave you at the moment that you come into Islam. That is what's meant by coming into this game with both feet. Back to the top here now. This chain of narration is Sahih to Ibn Abbas. In his Muwatta, Imam Malik, rahimahullah, reported from Sali bin Qassan, from Ubaidullah bin Abdullah bin Utbah bin Mas'ud, from Zayd bin Khalid, who said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in prayer at Hudaybiyah after a rainy night. On the completion of the prayer, he faced the congregation and said, "Do you know what your Lord has said?" Meaning what Allah had revealed. Those present replied, "Allah and His Messenger know best." He said, "Allah has said, during this morning, some of my servants remained as true believers in me and some became disbelievers. Whoever said that the rain was due to the blessing and the mercy of Allah had believed in me. And he who disbelieves, and he disbelieves in the stars. And whoever said that it rained because of a particular star had no belief in me, but believe in the stars." You know, there's so many times, you know, that I'll be sitting with Muslims, I'll be sitting in a gathering, and, you know, someone will come up and say something or have a comment about a class that was done, and they don't even realize, you know, what they said. I was in a class at the prison I work at. I was teaching a class, and one of my students, who happened to be an Arab brother, we had been talking about Isa alayhi salam and the return of Isa alayhi salam. And this is kind of off topic, but it adds to the story. I'll connect in just a second. And so we were talking about Isa alayhi salam and the return. And his brother said to me, "There's a verse in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about raising Isa alayhi salam to himself. And there's an Arabic word in the verse that can either mean sleep or death." And the brother came to me after I answered another brother's question about the return of Isa alayhi salam, saying, "Yes, of course he will, because there's a Sahih Hadith about this event." And the brother showed me the verse, and he said, "In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said Isa was dead." I said, "No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he raised him in a state of sleep in this verse." So the brother said to me, "You know, I'm Arab and I know my own language, and so you can't really talk to me on this issue." So what I had to do was, the next time I went to the prison, I actually had to take the brother the tafsir book, which explained what the meaning of the verse was. And this was a lesson for me about what some of us do. We tend to say things and not understand the weight of what we're saying. As a matter of fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, and I was talking to my wife about this the other day, that a man would say something and he would not think of the weightiness of what he said, and it would take him to the depths of the hellfire. And another man would say something and he would not think of the weightiness of what he was saying, and it would take him to the heights of Jannah. So the point here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making is very great, that there are so many times that people don't think before they say what they want to say. Or also I think what this is talking about is our inner feelings. Sometimes when we come into Islam, we come in and we have these preconceived notions about what Muslims are supposed to be and about what Islam is supposed to be about, and we carry those ideas on, and we tend to walk around in a state of disbelief from what we think and what we feel, and we don't even know. So this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed what he revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to get the Muslims to have an inner dialogue with themselves. What are you thinking? How are you feeling? How do you see the revelation? How do you see your Islam? So I think the primary lesson of today for us is that in this month of Ramadan, which in it is uncountable blessings, we need to start having an inner dialogue with ourselves and ask ourselves, do we understand this deen in the way that it should be understood? You know, the Sahaba used to make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they would say, "Oh Allah, make us understand the deen in the way that you intend it to be understood." And so many of us don't do that. and this is something that really should be done by the entire Muslim Ummah. So I think, like I said, the bulk of the lesson today is to deeply reflect when we are reading Quran, when we're reading Hadith, when we're researching anything in our deen, when we're asking a question, talk to ourselves and say to ourselves and say to Allah, "Oh Allah, make me understand this thing in the way that you intend it to be understood." And that was one of my first du'a that I made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, again, going back to my past a little bit, when I was a child, you know, I always heard, you know, because of the disability, people would say this and that about me, "Oh, he's not going to do this, oh, he's not going to do that." And so I knew, even as a youngster, that what I had that was most valuable to me was my mind. So when I came into Islam, I actually asked Allah, I said, "Oh Allah, give me a unique and profound understanding of your deen in the way that you want it to be understood." And alhamdulillah, I don't know if Allah has done that, but I hope. And this is just the bulk of my lesson today, brothers and sisters. And we're getting into a new section. So what I wanted to do now, the new section is verse 83 through 87. So what I wanted to do now, we're already about 25 minutes into the class, and generally we all know my classes have been short, because one of the blessings of reading from Tafsir Ibn Kathir is that there's so much information in it that there's not really a whole lot of need for filler. So, you know, there's not really a whole lot coming from me in this class, and you know, I'm just here hopefully inshallah to help those who do not have the literature, you know, to get used to the text. So if there's any questions, you can go ahead and ask. If not, I believe what we'll do is we'll start with verse 83 and go on as far as we can next week. So I'm going to release the mic now so that if there's any questions, we can get through.